Congratulations, you made it, and welcome to the first ever episode of the NASPO Pulse. It's the podcast where we're monitoring issues in state procurement. We've got our finger on the pulse, people, and we are so excited. This is the first in what we expect to be many podcast episodes brought to you by the National Association of State Procurement Officials, but you can call us NASPO. I'm your host, Kevin Miner, and I'm the Media Production Project Manager, and I'm just happy to be here. And by here, I mean I'm working at home, like I'm sure many of you are, during the global COVID-19 pandemic. Strange times. Frantic times. So obviously, we did not plan on this happening, but we adapt, just like you. So I'd say that we're doing things a little differently, but we've never actually done things before. We want to bring you informative and innovative news about state procurement. And trust me, there's a lot of it out there. But we have to address this pandemic with our first episode, and that's okay. It's what we're recording when we take the pulse. Do you see what I did there? So on today's episode, episode one, I'm going to be speaking with NASPO CEO Lyndall Hatton and our Chief Administrative Officer Jennifer Saltz, two very wonderful and smart leaders, our leaders. We're going to talk about stuff like, what is the value of an association in a crisis like this? What is NASPO doing for its membership? Do they see any common trends across the states? They're going to talk about how public procurement plays a part in this COVID response and a few more things. So sit back, relax, and listen. We're going to jump right into it. Lyndall, you know, one of the questions that has kind of come up over the past week as we've been navigating through this global pandemic is the value of an association like NASPO. Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin. First, before I begin, I want to thank you for taking an initiative such as this to help us get our message out, to further inform our members regarding the value of NASPO and ValuePoint, why having a membership there. So I applaud your efforts and your innovative thinking, Kevin, for doing this and allowing us this opportunity. You're right, this pandemic is so unique, unlike anything else that we've been experiencing. So it's an opportunity as well as a challenge that's been presented to us. And I think it demonstrates the real value of a membership in the association for our members, as well as their central procurement staff. We get an opportunity to demonstrate the value to them, what we bring. So we're trying to get out all the proper messages to inform our members of the various resources that are available to them to assist them during this crisis. In terms of the supply chain function, when demand goes up, supplies tend to become a bit limited. So it's more than just procurement or purchasing, it's logistics and everything else. And our folks are doing a great job to help facilitate a lot of that conversation and work that needs to be done in the supply chain. So we feel like we are doing a service to our members in facilitating those resources, putting out outward facing types of websites, as well as for our members only to inform them of the various resources that are available that they can use. The other thing that I'm seeing occurring is we have just moved to a director's phone call on a weekly basis, and they have opportunities to raise questions there to one another. What are some of the issues and trends that they are facing? And so they can share those ideas. We then have the opportunity to step in and help facilitate that. If they require some assistance identifying that resource or making those connections, we can provide that assistance. So I think it's a great opportunity, a prime time to be a member of the NASPO organization, and our members are seeing the benefits of that.
Excellent. Yeah, and it really is an interesting time. You know, one thing that you mentioned was just the innovation that you see right now happening through the entire supply chain. And I do want to focus specifically on NASPO members, but I'm just really curious, as to what in the past 2 weeks, the unprecedented response that you have seen at executive level of supply chains. Can you just briefly talk to me about that for a minute?
Absolutely. And in fact, I will also turn to Jen, and she could probably share even more experiences. But we have seen with our members when making certain requests that they're not sure that they can make the contacts with some of the suppliers. So we've turned to our Value Point team, Sarah, and Jen has even stepped in to assist our members to identify sources for certain supplies and items that are needed. I mean, as you can imagine, PPE type of requests, among others, mm-hmm. sanitizers, things of that nature. There are any number of things that are arising the need for. And many folks, even in their procurement office, they have contacts and suppliers, but not in every case are they successful in making those connections. Mm-hmm. So Jen has been very supportive. Sarah and her team have as well. And that's part of what you'll see on the website, I think, that identifies some of those, not only the partners, but the contractors that are available to assist with some of those items. Let me stop there. Jen, do you have a thought to share as well?
Sure. You know, we're seeing our suppliers, you know, get creative. We're seeing distilleries here in Kentucky and even Utah, where I just came from, you know, they're changing their product, and instead of, mm-hmm. you know, creating spirits, they're now creating hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that NASPA does really well is to provide a platform for our members to communicate. And Lendl had mentioned, you know, we're holding a weekly call for our members. It's an amazing thing to watch. You know, these folks share their experiences. They rally and support each other. They're sharing information. They're not trying to, I mean, we're all competing, you know, for these products, but they are right. out there helping to support each of us. And so it's been very great to see that type of camaraderie during this time of crisis.
Absolutely. You know, in my 3 years at NASPO, you know, one of the best parts of the job for me is just to see those dots get connected and those light bulbs come on when you have conversations from people that are literally across the nation from one another. You can have somebody in Maine talking to somebody in Arizona about some innovative new sourcing technique or new standard operating procedure that they've been working on. And the other person has, you know, never thought about that and is now going to change the operation for the better because of that. And I think that's even more important now than it ever has been. Moving forward.
Absolutely. And we are very happy to see those conversations occurring. As you said, that's the value of the network. Through the phone calls that we've held on Mondays with the directors, as well as the community network that's set up for them to have these conversations, we can see that it's led to other peer-to-peer conversations regarding their circumstances. Mm-hmm. They share sources and ideas, how to acquire certain commodities and items that are needed. But yes, I also want to reinforce what Jen just said. We've seen many suppliers that are converting their normal operations and becoming more innovative to the times where we right. need these other items because of this crisis, and they are converting their processes to facilitate that, whether it's sanitizers or anything else. So it's a time that everyone's coming together, building unity, and I love to see it. It's a great team effort.
Yeah, I think buzzwords nowadays are adaptability, ad hoc, and unity. And then, of course, PPE. You know, that's common vernacular. I didn't know what that was a couple weeks ago. I know more about PPE, I'm sure you do too, than I ever thought that I would. Lendl, do you see some common trends across the states? You know, we talk about this communication and this networking. What are some of the common trends that you see across the states right now?
Yes, we do see some common trends that are occurring. You just mentioned a simple one is in terms of the PPE, the personal protection equipment, everyone is needing that. That is resonating quite strong. The sanitizers and all the things that are going on to acquire those particular items, the identifying those resources are probably very, very important. But another thing that I'm seeing, besides all the commodities and services that are needed, back to a term that you mentioned, I'm seeing a more unifying approach across all of the offices in procurement. Everyone is looking at it as it's not just a unique problem to any one state. It is a crisis that is uniformly applicable to anyone and everyone, no matter where they may be. And as a result, we have a more unifying approach. Let's attack this as a team, not in isolation with one another. I love seeing that. That is a brotherhood, sisterhood of professionals coming together to demonstrate the value of a public procurement, what they have to offer, and working in unison with other strategic decision makers in the various agencies, irrespective of who they are, transportation, information, technology, whatever, highway, everyone is in it together, and we all work to a solution that is beneficial to everyone. So independent of commodities and services, this is a trend that I think is more unifying because we share it together.
And Jen, you have a tremendous background in procurement. What do you see across the states right now?
Yeah, one thing I just wanted to note, typically procurement officials are the unsung heroes, right? They kind of do their work in the shadows. They're not out there in the spotlight. But, you know, this type of a situation has brought them to the forefront. And I am so proud of my public procurement colleagues out there, these professionals that are working day in, day out. Since this crisis hit, most of them have not had a day off in weeks.
Right.
And we are not hearing any complaining from our members. We are only seeing, you know, positivity. They are working so hard to, you know, fulfill these orders that these first responders are, you know, just crying out for. And it has been just so amazing to watch these folks in action. I could not be more proud of this profession.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, and you say unsung heroes, and I agree with you. Here on the pod, I'll carry their tune all day. We'll sing for them all day. That actually is a great segue into my next question that I had for you guys was, how has public procurement played a part in this COVID response?
Well, I think their role has been more than just purchasing, as I mentioned earlier today. It's been expanded. They not only are in a position to have to buy things, but they have to identify where they are located. So more logistics is being brought in terms of as the demand goes up, identifying where those sources are for supply is pretty critical. So then they have to confirm, well, is the product actually available? Where is it available? How do they ensure the transit to get that product in? And then validating the actual receipt of those things. So procurement has a vital role to play from cradle to grave, almost, if you will, from the point of identifying where's the source to get it, put it in place to get it there. And coincidentally, there's other competition that they have to be aware of.
Yes.
States are limited in terms of the budgets they have, even though in emergencies they get some expansion. But there are other competitors out there that are going to pay cash for the same product at a point of delivery that states may not be in a position to compete with.
Yeah.
So the role of procurement here is very, very critical. How do they get the commodities and the items they need, most needed, by their residents and fulfilling those needs within the budget that they have, the monetary constraints that they have to work in, recognizing there is other competition in a position maybe to pay cash that they aren't for those same items. So it's a very, very different marketplace and arena the roles that they are having to play. And I want to echo what Jen said. I think that our folks are just, they are working endlessly to fulfill those responsibilities, providing the service that their states need, their residents, and mm-hmm. meeting those demands in a very difficult time. It is ongoing, endless, very stressful. They are being taxed probably beyond a time never before, and they're having to do more than just purchasing. So I'm very appreciative of their efforts.
Yeah, well, and we see empirically, though, that they are, you know, answering that call. I mean, you know, I see it every day on the research and innovation team talking with members that they really are heeding the call right now, and they really are working 24/7. And another interesting thought that actually that just came to mind when you were talking about that is, Lyndall, as someone who manages, and Jen, this question is for you too, you know, you guys are a little bit more used to the remote interaction with your employees. And that being said, we do get a lot of FaceTime with you, and we really appreciate that. Lyndall comes to Lexington all the way from the West Coast often, and we always love seeing you. But you deal with quite a bit of remote interaction, and that is something that is relatively new for a lot of states and a lot of people in a leadership or a manager role. Do you have any advice, or can you talk just a little bit about how you deal with that remote management style?
Certainly. Thank you, Kevin. I'm very fortunate. NASPO is fortunate. We have a wonderful team, and they are spread remotely throughout the United States. We probably have 50% remote, 50% in the Lexington headquarters.
Yep.
So it's very important to have excellent talent no matter where they are located. With that in mind, what we try to do is to make sure that everyone understands their role, mm-hmm. responsibilities. If we are failing in that regard, then we need to make sure that we step up to ensure everyone is empowered to act in their role. And I think that's very important. We don't try to micromanage anyone. We try to provide the resources that are needed, be it technology or any other resource, so that they are successful. Thus, when we moved a couple of weeks ago away from physical office there in Lexington to become more work from home model that we put in place, which was for everyone, no matter where they are located, mm-hmm. we had the technology, we had the team, the talent. Everyone understands the expectations, and we just empowered people to be able to fulfill that role. So I think having all of those pieces is very, very important. Again, I'm very fortunate to have the team that we do. I trust folks. I'm very appreciative when I hear our members acknowledge to us the service that they are getting. And I would like to acknowledge that at this time. Almost every day I'm receiving some type of email from a member that is acknowledging the level of service that they are getting during this difficult time. They know that our people are working remotely, and yet there has been no diminishing of service or support, be it from professional development, value point, research innovation, finance, reimbursements, administrative member services, whatever it is. Our members are acknowledging certain people, and then at the same time, they say they recognize that there are people behind them that are supporting the team. So mm-hmm. we are very fortunate to have a very strong team in terms of breadth and depth to perform the work, even remotely, providing them the resources, the technology they need to perform their job. And our team is stepping up doing that. And it is very well acknowledged and received by our members. I don't have any other secret to share, Kevin, other than being very fortunate to have that talent and resource. Any organization would be fortunate to have it. And I'm very thankful to the board that they support us in this regard to allow us to be able to recruit and to provide our people with the resources they need to be successful.
Right. Well, and you know, the work from home initiative. My personal experience, it has taken some getting used to and some adapting, but we're all adapting right now. Again, another one of our buzzwords for the week is adaptability. And this question is for both of you guys. Where should members and procurement officials go to find resources that NASPO is offering? And what kind of resources are we offering right now?
So on the NASPO.org homepage, we've got public-facing information. We also have additional information that is just uniquely there for our members behind their login on the NASPO network. Mm-hmm. Some of the information that they have access to is it's a table that shows our state members' emergency codes, governor declarations that have come out, and other state-specific procurement language, that gives more information on how to handle emergency procurements at this time. We also have some links to the information that's being provided by our strategic partners, such as the National Governors Association, FEMA, GSA. This changes daily, in fact, yeah, hourly. We're collecting more information and just, vetting that and then posting that for our members. We've got links to the blog, your podcasts. When they come up, we will make sure to get a link to that. And just as much information as we can provide our members, we want to get that out there. And then also we have on the NASPO ValuePoint side on their website, we have some supplier resources that are changing, hourly. Right. It's giving information on personal protective equipment, any of the supplies that they might need for, response efforts, and all that is by supplier. So we're trying to get that information out there and available to the states through the NASPO ValuePoint side that's specific to suppliers and contracts.
And I would also note, Kevin, on the website that Jen was referring to, if members, specifically if NASPO members are unable to access some of the community or the NASPO network and the resources, they can always just email membership, membership at NASPO.org, their questions and concerns, and someone will respond. I also want to pay tribute to both Olivia Hook-Fry and Jen Saltz. They have been most responsive when people have reached out to them. If they are not the primary source to answer the question, they have always been very beneficial or very supportive in identifying the right person to address and provide that service. So we have a number of folks and resources available should anyone have a question. Our folks stand ready to provide that, and I'm just so appreciative for the level of service they do provide.
Yeah, and Kevin, I just need to give a shout out to our team. We have all rallied behind our members at this time. We have staff who typically, provide conference and event service that have now been redirected, and they're providing member services. Yes. They're assisting in vetting suppliers, when they come up that maybe a state has never done business before with, and they're following check sheets and they're providing information so that states can then make their own determinations as to whether or not a supplier might be responsible. But I mean, this is all hands on deck right now. I've never seen anything like it, and I'm just again so proud of the way that our staff have responded and have been supportive to our members. It's been great.
I agree. I think this challenge with the crisis is also presenting an opportunity for us. You've addressed several key things today: adaptability, unity. All of those are very, very informative for us. It allows us to improve ourselves, raise the bar of what we do, and demonstrate the value of our organization, what we do for our members and how our members are responding. I want to applaud both not only our members, but also our staff. This crisis is demonstrating the real value of our team and the way our members have pulled together. We will live through this. We will survive. I guess part of my message is I lived for expressing the gratitude and not so much the panic here. I think that it's reflective of our times that we as mankind, we can step up and do great things for one another. It allows the positive and the goodness of people to come out. And that's probably the greatest takeaway during this challenge is for us to demonstrate our love and appreciation for one another. Every human life matters, and it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate our love and appreciation for one another. So thank you, for this.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you if you had any last words for our membership and our listeners, but I think that was pretty good. So I think I'll just leave it at that.
You bet. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to participate with you today.
Yes, Lindell and Jen, it has been a pleasure, and I'm sure that I will be speaking with both of you sooner than later. So
thank you, Kevin.
For us to demonstrate love and appreciation for one another, it was the NASPO CEO, Lindell Haddon, and NASPO CAO, Jennifer Saltz, giving us perspective not only into our association, but into our humanity as well. Deep, I know. I really hope you enjoyed this, the first NASPO Pulse, where we're always monitoring the issues in state procurement. Next time on the Pulse, I'll be speaking with Jamie Shore, Chief Procurement Officer for the state of Maine, about her role at NASPO, what she sees on the horizon for procurement, and whose idea it was to do a podcast in the first place. Spoiler alert, it wasn't me. Or was it? You'll have to tune in next time to find out. Email me, podcast@naspo.org. I want to hear from you guys. Send me voice memos. I'll listen to them. A question, a suggestion for a topic, or someone we should interview. Happy to listen. That's how this will work the best. Look for the Pulse on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure that you subscribe so you can get all of the freshest episodes. Head over to thepulse.naspo.org and check out our blog as well. There's a lot of really great and interesting articles for you to read in the meantime while we come out with more pod. That's it for us today. I'm your host, Kevin Miner. Stay safe out there, wash your hands, and we'll see you next time.